I'm going to go straight into the message. Let's turn to Isaiah 40, and we'll read the, we'll read the passage together, and we're, I also have slides up there for you. There you go. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. We're going to read it all together. So look up to me when you found the place in your Bible, so I know that you guys are ready. Isaiah 40, 28, 31. Let's read it out loud all together. One, two, three. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Today I want to talk about being spiritually faint. Being spiritually faint. And I think today's message, I'm hoping it's going to encourage every single one of you guys, but especially those who have been feeling faint and weary, like it says in this passage. You know, I'm hoping not, but I feel like some of you may have felt really tired, spiritually or emotionally or physically, and you found yourself feeling like you're in this place of darkness. And in hearing these words, like faint and weary and tired, exhausted, if it feels like I'm going like this to your heart, it's probably because God wants to speak to you today and encourage you today. So let's talk about how it feels to be faint and weary first. So faint, according to dictionary, it means barely susceptible of sight, smell, or sound. Another definition of weak is weak and dizzy, close to losing consciousness. It's not just like, oh, I'm so tired today, you know. That's not faint. Faint is when you are about to lose consciousness because you're tired. And weary is feeling or showing tiredness, especially as a result of excessive exertion or lack of sleep. And I thought this definition was very interesting. Another definition is reluctant to see or experience any more of, tired of. Any of you guys felt that way recently or feel this way? And I hope not everyone, not a single person in this place is physically faint because I want you to stay awake during the sermon, right? So I hope you're not physically faint, but if you feel like you've been feeling spiritually faint, emotionally faint, I really hope that God will encourage you through this message today. Because whether we feel that way right now or not, we've all been there, right? And some of us, we are there right now. You know, how many of us felt this way in the past or feel this way right now? Of feeling so emotionally exhausted that you feel like you're close to giving up. You're reluctant or tired to see or experience anymore. I'm kind of tired of everything. How many of you guys can relate? And something I want to say about this before I go on with the message is that it's okay. I think God wants to say this to you guys, that it's okay. It's okay the way you feel. It's a part of life's journey, and we can't completely avoid it. We are humans, so we're going to run out of our strength at some point of our lives. We can minimize being faint and weary, but we cannot completely avoid it. Because until we go to heaven, where we will not have any strength, we will have, limitless amount of strength that we will be able to have with the Lord, we will run out of strength on this earth. We are humans. But God does not want to keep you there. God does not want to keep you there. It's okay you feel that way, but he does not want to keep you there. He's not okay. It's okay if you go through this stage of your life for a brief moment or for a season where God is bringing you through it. He's a patient God. He's not going to say, just suck it up and move on with life. He's not going to do that. But he does not want to see you stuck there. He does not want to keep you there because he loves you too much. He does not want to see his child being put in a little pit hole where he feels like it's in the darkness and there's no hope. He does not want that for you. He does not want you to drag your feet on earth. But rather, he wants to renew our strength so we can soar on wings like eagles. Like it says in Isaiah 40, right? Run and walk without getting tired. So I'm going to start with a little bit of my personal story of feeling faint and weary. I'm going to get a little vulnerable because recently I felt very faint and weary. And you know, a lot of preachers preach from their own experience, right? And from what God's been speaking to them. And God's been speaking to me a lot about this, how he strengthens the faint. And he gives the strength to soar on wings like eagles for those who are weary. So John Michael and I had a really hard first 2 months of the year. It was just super busy. First month of January and February were just so busy that we were physically tired, but at the same time, we were also carrying a lot emotionally and spiritually with all the ministry positions that we were handling. And we could feel that our strength tank is like getting drained and getting low. It's like blinking red. And we felt like it was really needed that we go on a break. So we went on a vacation to Japan for 5 days. He booked the flight to Shigol of Japan, where I loved Fukushima. Right? Fukuoka, right? I forget. Well, one of the foos, right? One of the foo cities that was really just countryside, and, you know, we were hoping to rest. We had a really great time. We, you know, fed deer. We fed rabbits, and we petted owls, and we played with stray cats. We ate a lot of delicious Japanese food. And we came back 5 days after, but instead of feeling refreshed and renewed, I felt even more exhausted. And it's not because of the trip, but I just felt like my emotions were kind of like dropped to the ground. And I started having symptoms of near depression because I found myself feeling paralyzed and I couldn't get myself to do anything. And I didn't want to be around anybody. And I had no desire to do anything, including the things that I normally love doing, even things that would normally just make me come alive. I just did not want to do anything. And I felt sad and void of purpose and motivation. And I couldn't put a finger on why. And I was frustrated. I didn't understand. I just came back from a vacation. Do I need a vacation from a vacation? This doesn't make any sense. And I was trying to figure out the reason. I was like, was it because, did I pick up something, some sort of spiritual bug in Japan? Like, you know, like there's a lot of spirit of suicide and depression there. And did I pick up something? Like, did I catch a virus, like, you know, like cold? But no, I don't think that was it. And so I just tried to pray through it. I tried to be grateful. I tried to read the Bible. And notice how I'm saying tried. You know, I'm being really vulnerable, guys. It's okay. Sometimes you don't want to do any of that because you are kind of like faint. You don't have any strength in your body. But when I did the right things, I was hoping that it'll just go away. This, you know, little bug, I called it. I journaled in my journal, this is a bug and it's going to go away. But it didn't for the next 2 months. You know, the symptoms came and left. I was okay one day, and I was miserable the next day. And the days I was okay were only because of God's grace. Because when I would be vulnerable with him and force myself to read the Bible, at least just cry in front of him and not make any sense with anything I'm saying, I would get a sip of life. I would get a little sip of life from him, just trying, just giving him a FaceTime. And also my close friends contacted me without knowing that I was, you know, kind of depressed. And they pulled me out of my house. And that was totally God's doing because you guys know if you're tired and feeling, you know, depressed, you don't want to get out of the house. I would have not gotten out of the house for weeks if nobody called me out. And I'm normally like that anyway, but especially when you're feeling down. But now that I look back at it, I think what happened was that until the Japan trip, I think I was just running and running, just running. Busy schedule, busy life, whatever, emotionally, spiritually, just running. And I had all my senses kind of like numbed so I could make through all the things I was handling. And when I finally got away from everything and went to Japan, and I was given the freedom to kind of relax, I think all my emotions and kind of months worth of fatigue and tiredness kind of like hit me all at once. It got loosened, basically. And I think that's what happened, because it was just a lot of emotional burdens that I was feeling that I didn't know I was feeling, I think all got loosened all at once. So during this season of, you know, trying to fight through these low moments, I was shaken in the place of my calling, my identity, my ability to do anything, and perhaps every area of my life. And Pastor Marcus actually shared in his one of recent sermons that he was going through the same thing around the same time. And actually hearing that, it helped me to pull out of this mess that I was in, because it was all around me. I pulled myself out and I was able to look at it with a broader perspective. Maybe it's not just me. Maybe this is hitting the church as well. And that's why I wanted to speak on it today. So after close to 3 months of battling, one day I just came home and sat in front of my desk with my journal open. It's the best way I can communicate with God. I told him exactly how I felt. I told him that everything feels so heavy and that I feel like I can't bear it anymore. And I have absolutely no strength to go on anymore. And what popped up in my head at that moment was actually lyrics from a song that I was listening to that day. And it was from Will Reagan's new album. It's called You Carried Me. And you can put the lyrics up there. It says, "You carry me. You carry me on the wings of love. You carry me. You carry me on the wings of love. You carry me. You carry me on the wings of love." I knew I wasn't going to make it through without crying the first three lines. "Come fill our hearts up. Come fill our hearts up with your presence. Sweet Lord, sustain us. Sweet Lord, sustain us. Sweet Lord, sustain us." And he also gave me and this reminded me of the passage in Isaiah that we all know very well, Isaiah 40, that we just read. "He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, I've read this passage many, many, many times in the past. You know, we all know this passage, but I don't think I've ever read it when I was feeling really desperate, like I was recently. I was desperate for his help. I was desperate for his strength when I felt so weary, when I felt so faint. Reading this passage in that kind of condition, the words like popped up at me like it was alive. And this is why we have to read the Bible, guys. This is why when we are faint and we are weary, the last thing you want to do is stay away from the truth of God. Because God speaks not just so that we can, you know, make our minds feel better or make our thoughts better. But no, God speaks through these words and it just cuts to your heart. It comes alive. It's like it has a living. It has a breath of its own. And that's exactly what it did. This passage that I read so many times before had no effect on me as much as it did this time. And I closed my eyes and I saw a vision of my weak, frail spirit being lifted up and be carried on the eagle's wings, just like God said. And soaring. And as if God was pounding on my heart, he spoke to me about the eagles two more times the next day. Because it was a Sunday, and it's actually, I think, last Sunday. But during Sunday swim, we always start with a praise. And that day, we were singing, "You Satisfy My Soul." Which the lyrics go, I'm not going to sing it. "You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul with your love. You make my heart sing. You lift me on eagle's wings. Just when I thought that my heart, it would faint. You take the darkest night and turn it to shining light. Just when I thought that the night had won." And I always cry So people might have not thought much of why I was crying, but I was crying during the Sunday swim. And that day I was leading call to worship. And call to worship that day was Psalm 103. And verse 5, it says, "Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Yes. I think I did a really good job hiding my tears. Maybe some of you guys were watching for me to cry. But I almost burst into tears on stage when I was leading call to worship. It was like God was screaming at me, "Sky, I know what you're going through. And I am here with you. You're not alone. You hear me? I told you 3 times that you're going to soar on wings like eagles." That's what our God does, guys. And he wants you to know that today, not just for me. He wants you to know that today, that he wants to make sure that he knows you know how he feels. Or he knows how you feel. He wants to let you know that he is right there with you. That he's not turning a blind eye to you being faint and weary and just telling you to suck it up. No. You know, when we let go of our own strength, that's not the end of it. The good news is that we get God's strength instead of our strength. God carries us on his wings of love. But the key is to wait upon the Lord, no matter what. Key is to wait upon the Lord. I wish I had some fancy, solutions or ABCs to help you get out of this kind of faint spirit for you today, but I don't. Sorry, I'm just going to tell you straight up, I don't have anything like that. Today, I just have one point to make, is that wait upon the Lord no matter what. No matter what, and no matter what it takes, if you wait upon the Lord and choose him no matter what, and not give up, God's going to break through on behalf of you. God's going to give you the strength that you need to get out of that little pit you think you can't get out of. Choosing God can mean forcing yourself to read the Bible, or forcing yourself to pray, forcing yourself to get help from those who love you, like taking medicine. It's not going to be nice. It's not going to be like, "Ooh, I want to take medicine." Like, you know, it's not something you want to do normally. Like, you know, "I need to go get a shot because I'm sick." But you know what? Praying, being with him, spending time with him, and clinging onto his word is what we have to do. There's nothing else that we can do to get help, because nothing of this world can satisfy us or renew us like God does. There's no medicine of this world that can fix or lift you up. No self-help books, no best vacation. Even the best vacation, I told you, I went on a best vacation. No, it does not satisfy you. It does not renew your strength, and it does not lift you up. Only God can. If it's absolutely hard for you to get yourself to do these things, then ask someone to force you to do it, which is called accountability. Right? Sometimes you need it. You need it like a trainer. You know, if it was left on my willpower to go play tennis every Wednesday, I would not play after the first few weeks. But these days I've been playing tennis with my husband and with my mom, and it's been great and wonderful because they're kind of the motivation. They force me to go out and play tennis. You know, when you are weak and frail, just admit that you don't have the strength to get yourself up spiritually and go keep running and walking, and that's okay. But that's when you need your brothers and sisters who love you and will carry you, your burdens with you. That's called accountability. That's called them checking up on you. "Hey, were you able to spend some time with the Lord? I think it'll be really good for you." Sometimes I hate hearing that because I know it's true, but I don't want to do it, right? Especially when my husband tells me. Because I know he's telling me the truth, but you need that person in your life, especially when you're faint. God assures you that when you have your face turned toward him and wait for him, he will show you his faithfulness. His help will surely come. Let's look at Deuteronomy 31:8. Well, it's going to be up here, so you don't have to turn there. It says, "The Lord," I'm sharing this verse because we have to choose to trust that God will not abandon us. So, you know, when we're in the place of waiting, sometimes it can feel like, "Man, is he really going to come rescue me? Is it really going to come to the rescue and get me out of this pit? You can feel that way, but that's why we have to trust and choose to have faith that God will not abandon us. It says, Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He's talking about the battlefield. He's talking about war zone here. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You know, in every battle of our lives, God is already there. He's not waiting until you're suffering in battle so that he can go rescue you out. No, he's gone before you in every one of your battles, and he's waiting there for you to come and ask for his help. He's gone before you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh. And, you know, let's talk about what the main topic is here. God says you will soar on what? Wings like eagles. Wings like eagles, right? Not wings like pigeons. Wings like hummingbirds. I love hummingbirds, but they're just cute. But wings like eagles. How many of you guys know, like, a lot about eagles? Please tell me. You can come up and share something. I'm just kidding. I will not do that to you. But, you know, for me, I don't know anything about eagles. And so, to be honest, whenever I heard about eagles, only thing I knew was that, oh, they're big birds. They're really big. And America loves the eagles because it's the emblem of the nation. But that's about it, you know? Whenever I read the verses on eagles, it's kind of like, oh, I guess eagles are cool birds. That's cool. Okay, move on. Because, you know, we don't live in a place where we see birds a lot. We live in Seoul. Man, we live in Seoul. We don't see no birds here, let alone eagles. So talking to us about eagle is like talking to us about farming, because we don't know anything about farming, right? So I did some research for us, because God talks about eagles a lot in the Bible. Actually, there's 33 verses on eagles, which is just as much as Bible verses on lions. I mean, lions is 37 verses, so he wins a little by a little bit. But it's kind of interesting because eagles are considered the king of the sky. So is lion considered the king of the jungle. And God has a purpose and point to why he's using eagles to lift us up and give us this imagery of what he's talking about. So did you know that eagles are not just big, but they are huge? You can put up the picture here. Poor guy. I don't know if everyone can see it. Maybe. So you can see the big wings over there. That's an eagle. An average wingspan of an eagle is 6 feet to 7.5 feet. That's like Pastor John Michael, or a head taller than him, or foot taller than him. So you're not just talking about this cute little bird that flies and soars. That's not what he's talking about. Because of the size, and because of, I'm going to go into more of the eagle's characters, but because of the fierce, just the character of an eagle, that's why it's a symbol of courage, strength, and long life. Eagles can live up to, I mean, every source is different, but it says some eagles can live up to 70 years. That's longer than somebody's life. 70 years. But normal eagles live up to 20 years, and that's still pretty long for a bird, you know? And Bible also talks about eagles being swift. It's a swift animal. It's a fast animal. It's not slow. It's not slow to come to the rescue. You guys have to know that when God says, I'm going to come and rescue like the eagle, he's not just talking about, I'll take my time flying over. But eagles are really fast. In fact, another fun fact is that eagles can fly. They normally fly from 43 to 50 miles per hour, but they can get up to 110 miles per hour. So for Koreans, this is 70 to 80 kilometers per hour and 180 kilometers per hour. That's how fast they can get. So when God says in Jeremiah 48:40, for thus says the Lord, behold, one will fly swiftly like an eagle and spread out his wings against Moab. You get a perfect image of what that means. When the eagle spreads his wings, it's bigger than a human. And this is a verse on judgment against Moab. So eagles aren't always portrayed as a protagonist. But so you have to kind of judge whenever you read verses on eagle what God is referring to, whether he's talking about the enemy or himself or us. So we have to remember that. Another verse on eagles, eagle being swift, is 2 Samuel 1:3. It says, Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. So you get like the both king of the sky and king of the jungle, like both being in Saul and Jonathan as their part of their character. And another biblical symbolism is, I'm going to make this a quiz. Anyone can guess biblical symbolism of an eagle? Sight, vision, thank you. See, you know a lot about eagles. She's the one that raised her hand about knowing about eagles. Yes, you know, you guys know the saying, an eagle's eye, eagle's view, an eagle's view. So eagles actually have 4 times sharper vision than humans. So when God's talking about eagle in the Bible, he's referring to the prophets. So he's referring to the prophetic gifting that we carry as God's children. So at this point, I want to show you guys a video. You guys know it's coming because I always like to show media and video, visual. I'm a very visual person. And this was a video. I hope I'm not giving it away for those who didn't watch this movie. It's from The Hobbit. I hope not. But too bad. You're going to. It's an old movie. You guys had your chance of watching it, so it's not my fault. So it's a clip from Hobbit where I didn't think I would cry in a Tolkien movie, but I did. This was a while ago, but it kind of shows the characteristic and everything I've been talking about. So let's watch the short clip right now.
Thank you.
That's good. We can cut it. It's something, right? I mean, real eagles aren't that big. It's a little oversized, but, you know, our spiritual eagles are a lot bigger. But, you know, you can, it's fun and whatnot, but when I watched this, I was just reminded of, he comes when we feel like we're at the end of it. Like, you know, when you saw Thorin. Thorin's supposed to be like the greatest hobbit. Is he hobbit? But dwarf. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. He's a dwarf. Okay. He's the greatest dwarf. But he's done. Like, he's at the bottom of his strength, and he's fought this, I don't know what they're called either. The Smaug is the name of the head guy, but orcs? Orcs, yeah. See, I'm not like a huge hobbit person, but yeah, like he's at the end of his strength, but you can see, like, even when I was watching the movie, I was like, man, he's done. Like, him and the little hobbit is done. They're done. I don't know what they're going to do at this point. Little did I know that Tolkien always loves using eagles as this coming to the rescue, as God comes to our rescue when we are at the bottom of it. When Thorin's not even conscious. See, talk about faint. Definition of faint is Thorin right now. He's like dead. He's passed out. But sometimes when we are like spiritually faint and when we're spiritually done, like we're just done fighting the enemy. We're done trying to make it, you know, alive out of some sort of battle that we're handling in our lives. But Tolkien always uses it. There's so many scenes of eagles coming to the rescue. And, you know, movie critics make fun of it because they're like, oh, why didn't the eagles come earlier? You know, but Tolkien makes a point that God knows the exact timing of it. He knows the exact timing of it, and he gives us the chance to fight on our own. And when he knows that we are running out of our own strength, he replaces us, he renews us, he gives us his strength so that we can fight even more. And he carries us on his eagle's wings. So one characteristic of eagle is that the eagle bears us up. So I mentioned earlier how it can be God, it can be us, or it can be the enemy. And in this, you know, when God talks about himself as an eagle, he talks about it a lot in the Old Testament as an eagle, himself being an eagle. It's a sign of strength and that he can bear much weight. I mean, real eagle cannot bear us up. Like, we can't ride an eagle. I wish we could, but we can't. But when eagle, it's like little eagle, it's fall from a nest or, you know, is having, well, in reality, when eagles are able to fly, they're too big to be carried. So that's a myth. When, you know, if you guys ever heard that eagles carry their eaglets on their pinions, because that's not really possible. But when the eagle, it falls off a nest or when the eaglet is in danger, the eagle will do anything to carry the burden of that eaglet. He's not going to just let it fall off, but he's going to go and swoop the eaglet and rescue and carry the eaglet on the pinions of his wings. And that's like a symbol, that's a symbolism of what God does with us. He bears us up, not just physically, not just emotionally, but spiritually as well. You know, Jesus bears all of our weight. He already came and he already took all our burdens off of our shoulders. So we got to remember that just like God took the Israelites out of Egypt, he like literally swooped them out. There's nothing that the Israelites did to get out of the slavery. You guys know that. So Exodus 19:4, it says, "You yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." That's how he describes himself, as the one that bears us up. And this is further symbolized when Moses said of God, "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions." Deuteronomy 32:11. So the eagle can bear up the young eagles. And that's the way, that's the imagery God wants us to remember when we think about God's character. That's what he did with me. In my faint spirit, when I felt like, God, I can't go on anymore. He came and he literally swooped up my spirit and lifted it up and gave me the strength that I needed. He did this in the time of battlefield for Israelites over and over and over. When the kings were just crying out, God, and, you know, like they're losing the battle and they're able to cry out to the Lord, and he over and over came to the rescue and carried their battles for them. And second, I guess, so what was the first characteristic of an eagle? Eagles bear us up. Strong. Yes, strong too. Eagle bears us up. Second characteristic is the eagle protects. Eagle protects. Everyone say eagle protects. You saw that eagle just didn't come and kind of like what Pastor JP was saying earlier. I was really coming in agreement with what he was saying during the prayer time, was that sometimes we got to understand that when we fight off the enemy, like this symptoms of depression or like this heavy spirit that is upon you, it's not just like, get off me. You can't fight off the enemy just by telling them, hey, excuse me, can you get off my turf? No. When God says you are going to be like an eagle and you're going to be swifter than eagles, he's talking about how you can do that with the enemy. You can just snatch it and throw it out the cliff because you have the strength and ability that God gives you to do that. So we got to remember that the eagle protects. I'm going to skip over this because I didn't know we have a new clock system. It's really awesome. Don't look back. I'm sorry. I'm like distracting everybody. So eagle protects. And the third is the eagle is victorious. Eagle is a predator. Actually, eagles can go attack small animals like goats and wolves and even small bears. I know, it's kind of sad, right? I wanted to show a video of how strong and mighty and fierce an eagle is because we need that imagery to know like what God is talking about when he says we have the strength of an eagle. But they were kind of gory. I didn't want to, not all of them, but some of them, like he's like literally like tearing up like a head of a snake. Because they're able to do that. They're big enough and they're strong enough, fierce enough that they can attack even, yeah, animals like goats and little like panthers and stuff. They are fearless birds. I almost said animals. They are fearless birds and they don't shrink back before the hardship of nature at all. And so when God says we are like the eagles, we have to understand God is not just a God of love, God of compassion. He is, but he's also a God of fierce fighter. He's a God who fiercely fights for us. He's a God who's going to intervene and take out and slaughter the enemy when we are not able to. We have to understand that. We have to understand that he's a victorious God. And some interesting fact is that they fly above the storm. Did you know that? Eagles have an ability to fly above a storm. So when actually the other little birds like pigeons and hummingbirds get scared if there's a storm, eagles actually get really excited. When they see the storm clouds coming, they get excited because they use the storm clouds and the wind rush to use that to fly even higher. And they're able to fly above the clouds, not being affected by anything that the storm can, do to them. So they actually take advantage of the storm. And I thought this was so interesting. You know, God doesn't, like, say that in the Bible, like, you're going to fly up the storms. But when he calls us eagles, he's telling us that we have the ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the guide and strength that God gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us, it's like the wind of the Holy Spirit, we're able to fly above the storm. We're able to be above the things that can, you know, hunt us down and weigh us down because they cannot affect us with help of God. God gives us wings of faith. So Romans 12 is also another verse that God gave me when I was going through this tough season. And it reads, Romans 12, 11 to 12, it says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. We have to do that, church. We have to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. You know, this year for New Philadelphia Church is year of renewal. And something God was highlighting is that when God wants to give us something new, which means renewal, like giving us something new, we have to get rid of the old. And you know what? The old thing that we have to throw away in order for us to be renewed by God is our own strength, is our own ability, our own zeal, our own tank of strength that we are barely running on sometimes is what we got to throw away. When we empty our hands of our own strength, that's when he can come and give us his strength. That's when he can come and fill us with his strength that can overcome every evil and every obstacles of this world. So God says we will soar on wings like, what? Eagles. You guys are going to call me like the eagle lady now. That's what he does. God bears us up. God protects us and fights for us. And he keeps us from being shaken by the storms of this life.